Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Chris Daniels.
You're a good bunch. You are. All in favour say aye. I'm a good bunch too, am I, Peter? Yeah. I'm going to be in Isaiah 6 if you've brought a Bible, iPad, iPhone, whatever. Those of you that have memorised it, you're fine. Oh, Father, thank you for your glory. Thank you for your presence here. Oh. God, wow. Thank you, just because we've had notices and story and the music's finished, thank you that your presence is still resting on our shoulders. Hallelujah. Thank you that your presence is resting on my shoulders. Thank you, Father God, that we are carriers of your presence. Wherever we go, you go, because you're in us. Thank you, Father, that you're in us, that you live inside every one of us. Thank you, Father. Lord, just this next 2.5 hours, I just want to give up to you. And you're the boss, Lord. We're just your servants. We'll follow you. Things I do to try and get out of work. But Father God, I just want to hand this next few moments over to you. Thank you for your anointing in every one of us. And the word says that the anointing teaches us. Father, thank you. Yes, I'm anointed, I know. But you're all anointed too. And I thank you, Father God, that the anointing in you is going to respond to the word this morning and just show you stuff today. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. I just love this story. I've loved this story for years. It's only a short story. But that's okay, because I've only got 3 hours. But it's only a short story. But you know, it's a great story of encounter. And God is drawing us all into greater encounter with him all the time. You know, whoever invented the quiet time? What a load of rubbish. I know we kind of call it a quiet time, and sometimes it's good to have times of quiet. But you know, God, when we meet with him, wow, I think we're going to have different times with him, you know. I don't want to diss the quiet time, but it's had loads of time over the years. But you know, the bit about just speak in tongues for a second, and then we're off. You know the story of Elijah and the still small voice? You know how many times that's mentioned in the Bible? Once. And yet, well, we have a habit. Doesn't mean it's not right. It just means we have a habit of finding something once and thinking, that's how it is. Do you know what I mean? It's like when Gideon put the fleece out. And how many people of us have tried to put a fleece out and have ended up fleeced, really, rather than actually learning to follow the Holy Spirit in our lives, you know? And we look at things, and yeah, sometimes God says, well, test me, put a fleece, well, do it then. But that's not the way we get led by the Holy Spirit, you know? There's other ways. And it's the same with the still small voice. Why was Elijah saying God's voice wasn't in the earthquake? Because normally it was in something loud. Why is it in the wind? Why is it not in the, is it the fire or whatever? Because sometimes God will speak in all sorts of things. And sometimes the still, small voice. But don't limit yourself to just hearing God and seeing God and encountering God in ways that you have done before. Because there's new coming all the time. You know, we keep talking about how great this was last year. Well, that's great. Let's remember how great it was. And then forgetting all that is past, let's strain forward this next weekend into deeper and greater and an amazing time with God. Yeah, it seems like we're up for it as well, eh? Oh, good. It's good. I mean, Isaiah 6, better get to the Bible soon. And it says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. This is Isaiah speaking. And Uzziah stands a little bit for the sort of the past, stuff that went on before. I've been looking this up. I heard years ago, I'd be trying to find it and couldn't, but I heard years ago that Isaiah was actually a part of the extended family of King Uzziah. And therefore, Isaiah had access to places that other prophets may not have been able to have because of his connection with King Uzziah. But when King Uzziah died, he no longer had that way in. He now had to trust in a whole new thing. He couldn't trust in what had gone on before. Just because you had a great time at this last year, just because you had a really great time at worship last week, this is a whole fresh new day today. Tomorrow is a whole new fresh day. Some of you have had a great time at Lamplugh this weekend. Wasn't it great we went up to Lamplugh and we just met together around the word and the worship? Wasn't it wonderful? Fantastic time. I've heard the anointing and the presence was so strong. What about tomorrow? You can connect with God. And I'm finding it's been a bit weird recently. I've been exploring one or two of the things, the Ignatian stuff, but I've also been praying the Lord's Prayer. And I thought I'd given up on that when I left the Anglican Church. I'm too mature to use the Lord's Prayer now. Oh dear, I keep saying these things. And I keep being wrong. And I can just pray through the Lord's Prayer and the presence of God in the room. And I think I've just prayed the Lord's Prayer. It's Anglican and Catholic and all, you know, it's traditional. I can't pray something traditional and sense the presence of God. Oh, I do keep saying these things. You know, of course you can. Of course you can. You know, there's a bit in the Lord's Prayer. One of the reasons I'm wanting to pray a little bit more at the moment. You notice the Anglican Church, they changed it to Our Father who is in heaven. So they've still got his location right. Your name is holy. And it used to be a prayer. May your name be on your name. Your hallowed, that's it. I always thought it was Harold. But hallowed be your name. It's a prayer. It's the first prayer. You locate Father, and where he is, your first prayer is, hallowed be your name. May your name be honoured. Don't we need to pray that? You know, if you're working in any factory, you go into any shop, you just mix with anybody, you will hear his name dishonoured. Maybe we need to start praying again. Yeah, it's great, we've been praying your kingdom come first. Let's maybe start praying, hallowed be your name. And definitely not Harold be, but hallowed be your name. Let's start praying that God's name will be honoured where we are, yeah? Yes, it's great to say his name is holy. And that's a statement of faith as well, I suppose. A statement of worship. But let's pray that his name will be honoured in this place. Jesus put that ahead of your kingdom come and your will be done. Yeah, so let's be praying. That's a little side anyway, but we're only in the first verse. King Uzziah actually is a little bit like what King David did. King Uzziah thought, well, I'm king, I'm walking with the Lord, I'm doing well, I'm going to do the sacrifices myself. The way God has ordained it, I'm just going to do it like that. And he got struck with leprosy. Apparently there's an earthquake and, you know, it's in 2 Chronicles. There's an earthquake and he got struck with leprosy. And the last 10 years of his reign, he actually wasn't reigning. His son was reigning. And he was like a co-regency. And then he finally died. So Isaiah had the access for a while through a king that had fallen. Now, those sort of things don't happen now, but it's a real lesson to us, isn't it? That God has his place. And sometimes we treat things, I think John Bevere used to say, treat what is holy as if it's common. You know, how do you treat coming to worship? We have 40 minutes on a Sunday morning where we all gather together. Do you treat that as, well, there was one last week, there'll be one next week? Or is it a precious time where you can, with your brothers and sisters in Christ, connect with the Almighty? Whatever church you're from, there's a lot of churches here today. Wherever you're from, are you just, oh, it's just church, doesn't matter. Actually, you know, we declare over each other, you are holy. You are righteous. Over one another. When you have coffee with each other, are you treating that time and that person as a precious time? It's a holy moment. It's just coffee or tea. It's just a meal. It's just a curry. It's just a whatever. But are you treating that time as holy? Because it's with each other. We are a holy people of God. We need to start treating and seeing each other like God sees us. And I know a lot of the time we find it hard to see ourselves like that. And we like, and then we meant to spend the rest of the time moaning about each other. Well, let's just stop and let's just see that actually every one of us here is holy and righteous. And when I'm spending time with you having a coffee, this is a precious time. This is an awesome time together. And dare I say, with leaders, holy as well. Even the chubby ones. Holy as well. But you know something. How do we treat them? Do we moan, or just actually they're ordained? They've been lifted into a position, not above, but in front. You know, to lead us forwards. Not be behind with a stick whacking us. Come on, you lot. I was shame when I worked with a shepherd for a few years, and he actually got me to stand at the front of the sheep and get them to call my name. And I called and said, come on, a few times. Once they realised that I was calling them, they all started to follow. It was amazing to watch. Because, of course, when you chase them from behind, they scatter everywhere, don't they? When they draw them on from the front, they follow in a line. Sheep are great like that. I remember driving in from Pickering Way, and you know where that farm shop is? And just to the left, there's a big field. And no word of a lie, I saw about 100 sheep in single file. There's no people, no dogs, nothing. That one of them had just decided to walk up the hill, and there's about 100 of them, and it was in single file. It was amazing. Oh my goodness, we are. I mean, when Jesus used sheep as an example, you can see how, you know, sometimes you look at how we are as people. But yeah, it was amazing. But yeah, we've got to be careful that we're not using what is common, what is holy, as if it's just common. You know, and prayer is a precious thing. I hate the word prayer because it kind of makes a subject out of a relationship. Prayer is relating with God, isn't it? Sometimes it's having a go at the devil and speaking faith, but most of the time it's just relating with our Father in heaven. That's what we're called to, this wonderful relationship. And it's a precious thing. Oh, I'll talk to you later. I'll talk to you in the morning. Oh, you know, whatever. You know. I'd say, what if I treated my marriage like that? But, oops, caught out again. Well, I've confessed my sins, I'm healed. Right. So it's amazing that the access that Isaiah had through to whatever he had was taken away. He had a ministry, first five chapters, he had a ministry, he was prophesying, he was doing the stuff, but then King Uzziah died. Suddenly his access was taken away, he couldn't trust what had gone on before, but now he's moving forwards, and he has this encounter, and what he does is he just goes to the temple. He knows where he should be, he's not just walking around town or going about his business, he sets apart, he says, I'm going to spend time with, I'm going to put myself in the right position. He had no idea this was going to happen, but doesn't the Lord take us by surprise often? And yes. We put ourselves in the right place, and suddenly, wham, God is with us. There's something, well, he's with us all the time, but there's an extra dimension, and he's drawing close to us even more. You know, God knows all about you, but I believe he doesn't know you. It's the thrill of the relationship. We know about him, but we're getting to know him. He knows about us, but in relationship, he's getting to know us. There's a difference, isn't there? It's a two-way relationship. All relationships are two-way. So when we open our hearts to him, he's getting to know us. It excites him. It thrills him. He wants to get to know every one of us. You kind of think it's God. He's all-knowing. Well, he can forget our sins. I can't choose to forget stuff. There's stuff I really want to forget. And yet it still comes up, doesn't it? We all know that. And yet God has the capacity in his mind to be able to forget sin. I mean, I suppose we have the mind of Christ, so maybe we have that capacity too. I'll leave you with that one. But he is able, he wants to know us intimately. That's the joy. That's the thrill for him. That's the joy set before him, why he endured the cross. It wasn't just that he can have a lot of followers, it's that we can know a lot of people. He can know us as we get to know him. So, you know, the Bible often talks about the knowledge of God, but what it means is knowing him. Knowledge of God sounds academic, doesn't it? But this is knowing our Father in heaven. knowing him and him knowing and getting to know us. That's amazing, isn't it? But it's lovely. Are we got past verse 1 yet? See, I said 3 hours. Right. Did I say 4? But he saw the Lord seated on a throne in the temple. I went to look at the temple, and actually most of it's outdoors. This is the Solomon's temple, the first one, isn't it? And most of it's kind of outside, sunny country most of the time. And they've got the huge tall building where the inner sanctuary is. But he was in the temple. So he would have been sitting around. He wasn't a priest, I don't think. He was just sitting out in the outside bit when he saw the Lord. And so this is a massive thing, even bigger than the temple. This is a huge vision above the temple of the Lord God Almighty. Now, somewhere it says that no one sees the Lord and lives, and yet Isaiah saw the Lord, and he's wrote a lot of stuff afterwards. So I guess he lived, he survived it. But he just incredible... incredible encounter with God himself visibly above the temple. And there was all sorts going on. I mean, it says the doorposts were shaking. I mean, these were big wooden doorposts that were covered in gold, and they were humongously high and tall and across, and they were shaking. There was smoke everywhere. The train of his robe was filling the temple. So not just the inner sanctuary bit, this is the whole temple was just full of the train of his robe. I love that, just the picture. I mean, I love pictorial stuff. That's why I'm really getting into some of this stuff that Dave's bringing up at Lamplu, because it gets to use my imagination, it gets me going, I love it. And you've got this huge picture, and somewhere in the middle of that, there's smoke, and there's Isaiah, who just rocked up to church, really, for a bit. Suddenly, he's confronted with all this. It's incredible. And around him are these four angels, but not just angels, these are seraphim, which are like the sort of inner circle of angels. These are the closest ones that just deal within the present, the very inner presence of God. One of the translations for it is the burning ones. So he's surrounded, because all this is happening, this mass. I mean, the temple's not small, is it? And yet he's there, huge, on the temple, up on high, smoke everywhere. And the train of his robe, and I love the hem of his garment. You know, the priests, they were, the high priest was putting stuff signifying what God has got. And what they would wear, I can't go there with, I'm going to go to pomegranates again. I love pomegranates. They have pomegranates all the way around. Pictures of pomegranates, what's that about? The thing with a pomegranate, it's the fruit with the most seed in it. And if you look in the Old Testament, you see all around the high priest's thing. You'll also, in the tabernacle, every tent post around has a golden pomegranate on it. And everything signifies something. So not being a fruit loop here. Every one of these is packed full of seeds. There is no fruit with more seed than the pomegranate. And what does seed mean? Seed means multiplication. Seed means life. Seed means increase. It means fruitfulness. It means prosperity in every form of the word. Ha! All round the central presence of God. We know that when we meet with God, we've got God's presence in us. But when we meet with God together and we're in that place, it's a place of incredible fruitfulness, incredible life, incredible seed. And we can go out from that and try and make it happen. And then we get back into God's presence and we get back into relating with him personally and allowing him to get to know you as you're getting to know him. And wow, what a place of fruitfulness. It's explosive, explosive. I wonder how many, it's exponential, isn't it? Because one pomegranate could grow so many pomegranate trees, which will have a lot of pomegranates on it with a lot of seeds in each one. It's exponential. Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, us, we're all into exponential growth in every area of our lives. And I'm not just talking about the physical things we see like finance and the health and the numbers in church, but in every area of our life, there can be exponential, massive growth. Wow. I wasn't going to go with any of this. Hallelujah. So it filled the temple. Oh, verse 2. Oh, we've done it. Hey. And then he cried. One of them, one of the creatures, one of the cherubim, the seraphim cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You know, some people wonder about some of the songs we sing in our church. Don't we sing them a lot? Don't we repeat them a bit? Yeah. We're not here to entertain us. We're here to declare the truth over him. Yeah? And if you look in that bit, if you look through Revelation, you will see that it's far more repetitive than we can ever be. Usually singing one word. Holy, holy, holy. And they sing it and sing it and they declare it and they shout it. You see, we have all this fancy stuff, but we could do away with it all and just stand and shout, holy, 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 and we'd be more like heaven. I bet they have a great band in heaven. But you know, this is an amazing heavenly vision of holiness. And he says this, the whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth. We look, and when we see the whole earth, we struggle to see God in a lot. Because we see with physical eyes and we look. But I want to challenge you this morning to maybe look like the angels see. Because from where God's sitting,
yes, come on, hallelujah.
Because the seraphim aren't going to make it up themselves. They're going to say what God's thinking and saying. They don't have free thought like we do. They're going to say what we say, that what God says. When God looks at the whole earth, he says it is full of his glory. Now this was 700 years before Christ, 750 years before Christ. It's about 751, I think, when Uzziah died. Roughly just a few years after the first Olympics in Greece. Just about the time when Romulus and Remus were founding Rome, around that period. And yet, God sees the full earth. There was no cross, no Jesus yet, all in heaven, but not on earth. There was no disciples spread across the whole earth. But he saw the whole earth full of potential for the glory of God to be hitting. God sees the whole earth now, even more so. He sees your life because, doesn't it say in 2 Corinthians that you have got the glory of God inside of you, earthen vessels with the glory of God. Glory to God. But no. When we go out in Scarborough, look at this place. When you're looking at this place here, this wonderful coastal town and the villages around that we live in, and the other wonderful coastal town that's down there a little bit. You know, that's a real test to see glory there. But no, do you see that place full of glory? I did an extensive study in the Hebrew on the word full. And do you know what it came up with? Full! He doesn't see a bit of glory all over the world. He sees it full of the Lord's glory. When you walk out there, that is full of the God's glory. When you go out on the streets at night with street angels, it's full of glory. When I go to a children's home and I work with these battered, broken, damaged children and half the staff team, I see the glory of God is there. Whatever situation you're in, the glory of God is there. And I like to look up glory, and there's a few words for glory, and it's kavod. They pronounce it on my little web thing. I look at it, it's kavod. But it means glory, it means fullness, it means all those things. But it also means, like, the riches and abundance. And that's not just physical riches. That's riches in every kind of way, isn't it? The whole world is full of the riches of God. We can look so down. Read the Daily Mail. You'll soon get depressed. Watch the news. I mean, really. I watch it sometimes, but I can't. I like to be, I like to know what's going on. And then all they tell you is who's been killed and who's died and who's bankrupted what nation and whatever else, you know. But the earth is full of the abundance and the riches and the glory of God. Maybe we should treat that with a bit more honour and a bit more, honour. Yeah, honour, really, as we're treating each other, as we're seeing times like this as precious. The earth is a precious place. He created it. The people out there are precious. The people that do not know him are precious. And they must be within an arm's length of the glory of God, because it's full. The earth is full of it. They're that close to the glory of God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. And Isaiah gets into this situation, and all he can do, it's funny the way people do this, they see God and he doesn't go, "Wow, God, you're great." He goes, "Oh, I'm awful. I'm a sinner. I'm an unclean person, and I live with unclean people with unclean lips." Obviously, they're not flossing. They're Colgate wasn't around then. That came later. But you know, they came to a place where it's amazing. He does describe it later, but at the time it's, "Wow, God, you're awesome, you're amazing." But no, it wasn't. He was so overawed by it. It was, "Whoa, I am undone." So the zip fastener was fixed then. But no, he was actually in a place where he was totally distraught and thought he was going to die. I make a joke or two, but actually he was seriously thought he was in trouble. And what does God do in that awesome place? This incredible encounter. The story goes on that he gets the one of the seraphim, the burning ones, picks up burning coal from the altar. And back then the altar was the only place that they could get redemption from. The only place they could get any sense of forgiveness of sins was from the altar. And one of the burning ones took a coal off that altar and touched the lips of Isaiah. When Isaiah was in that incredible, awesome place, he became aware of how awful he was, even though he knew he was called by God to be a prophet. But he met God's mercy and love. Yes, he met God's holiness, but he met God's love and mercy. And how many times do we shy away from coming into God's presence because we're feeling shabby about ourselves? We might even come to a meeting, come to church, come to a worship time, but we won't engage because we're feeling like we're not really right. We're not. But for Isaiah, he was in that place. He'd gone to the place of worship. He'd met with God. And then he came to a place where he knew he was undone. He was nothing. He was gone. He was a goner. But he met God's mercy. I think sometimes we hold God's love and God's holiness as two opposing things. But God is holy because his love is so pure. And God is love because of his holiness. The two match together. And we can be holy and we can be full of love. It says God is holy. It says God is love. Yes, yes. And yet the two are together. They're one. He's not split. He is one. Our God is one God. And we can meet with the holiness of God, but when we do, we're meeting with the purest love that there is known ever. And you can get access to God's mercy and his grace in that very, very moment. So when you come and I'm all over the place, meet with God. He doesn't recognize you. He looks through these glasses that have got the blood of Jesus all over them. And he sees you as you really are. We see ourselves as failures. I haven't had that answer to prayer, so I failed. What? And I haven't had that happen. I've done this. I've said a naughty word. Wigan, or whatever. And I've... But God's mercy is available for you all the time. Because he sees you, you've already been cleansed. The only place that you can get that from is from that altar, which signifies Jesus. And you can live a clean life, washed away all the sin, everything that you've ever done and everything you're ever gonna do. And all the effect that would have on your life, you can live free of that. So many Christians are so full of the consciousness of sin. In many ways, sin takes on more power when people get born again because they're so bothered by it all the time. And yet you're righteous. Probably said last time, the Holy Spirit convicts you of righteousness as much as he convicts you of sin. So allow the Holy Spirit to convict you of who you are in Christ when you've blown it. That's part of your repentance. That's part of your turning round. Hallelujah. God is good.
Yes.
What happens next in the story is God says, who's going to go for us? And Isaiah says, well, after that, I'll go. You know, you get touched by God in that way, and you're up for it. You're going. But it wasn't stuff that Isaiah had to do. Isaiah positioned himself. God, mercy, hit him. And he was able to be commissioned and used by God. He walked into his destiny at that point. You might have thought already, five chapters. Some of the minor prophets only have three chapters. Isaiah could have given up at that point and had five chapters and still made it to the Bible. But he didn't. He started to walk into his destiny. And sometimes we feel called to something and we're into that position and we've gone so far in it. And then it's kind of it. Some of us, a lot of people here have been to Bible college. A lot of people have done some amazing things in the Word. A lot of people have done amazing things in God. Well, you know something, God is saying this to you today. You know, King Uzziah's died. You haven't got that access now. You're in a new place. A new place of favor, a new place of calling, a new place of destiny today. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, it may not be a positive thing you've done. You may have done some lousy things. You may have screwed up and messed up here and there and made some bad decisions. Well, I tell you, King Uzziah's died. We're in a new time. We're in a new period. You might have given your life up for God and it's all, you know, been all over the place. Some of it was good, some of it was bad. Well, you're in a new place now. I don't want to trivialise what we did in Reading, but we planted a church, we grew it, we shrunk it, we shut it, we moved up here. You know? That's 5 years of my life in... What's it worth getting the stools out for, was it? There's ways I can look at that. We were growing at the end. When we planted it, we felt called up here, we were growing again. I could say, well, I failed. We planted, I wanted to leave something behind. I wanted to put a pastor in place and leave it and move up. None of that happened. So what? Those people that came, they were walking with God. And they wouldn't have been before. And we've got a different walk now. King Uzziah's dead. It's a new day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we just stand, please? What I don't want you to do is just stand and think this is another time. This is just another time when we stand and pray. No, this is a precious moment. This is a precious time now. Just focus on the Lord. We've shared a picture today of him meeting with you above the temple. Just have a look now. Just focus on him. Hallelujah. And if you're one of those people that is kind of resting on what you've done and not where you are now, saying, I've done all this and yet where am I now? Ready, I hope. Ready and willing. Just offer that to God. Just say, look, that's done. King Uzziah's died. Just pray yourself while I'm chatting. You know, just call that to an end in your life right now. Just draw a line under it. Say, yeah, this has all gone on. But you know what? I'm meeting with you now. And I've met with Jesus. It's a great picture of redemption, of people coming to Jesus, isn't it? Hallelujah. If you are someone here this morning that has never started and got to know Jesus and is walking that walk that we walk where we're relating with God, if you don't have a relationship with God this morning, let me tell you, you can relate to God. You can know God in a meaningful way. And it's actually that anything good that goes on in our lives, it comes out of that knowing God. So if you're one of those people this morning and you think, yeah, you know, I've got to know this God. I want to walk in his destiny for me. I want to walk clean because he has cleaned me. And just right where you are, just say, Father, that's who he is to you. Father, that's me. Father, I want to walk with you. I want to relate with you. I want to know you. I don't understand all this Uzziah and temple and all that stuff. But Lord, I do know that I need you. I do know that I can't go on in my life without you. And I need to just lay my life before you now and say, lead me now. Yeah. And if you pray that prayer, I want you to come up to me later or one of these guys on the front and just chat with us and we'll pray a bit more with you. It's not scary. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. It's exciting. Hallelujah. If you think maybe in your life you've been looking at people in the church or maybe coming to worship or times of prayer, you've been kind of treating them a little bit like the common and they're not the holy special moments, then just hand that up to God right now. It's not a heavy thing. Just thanks, Lord, that you've drawn this to me right now. Thank you, Father, that you've shown me that maybe I'm not as excited about meeting with you as I could be. I'm being a bit blasé about you. But I do love you, and I know you love me. I just want to get back with you and just... Yeah, Jesus. And I believe there's a number of us that really believe and are up for the Holy Spirit to minister in their lives, and yet... And encounters with God, it's like, yeah, great, but you never seem to have them other than just the ordinary. I just want you to ask now, ask your Father in heaven for deeper and richer encounters with him. You know, if you ask God, he hears you. And if he hears you, he will grant you what it is you've asked. So just right now, where you are in the quiet, offer up a small quiet voice. A still small voice of your own. So, Father, I want to go deeper encounters with you. I don't want just quiet times where I read my word, pray a bit, and get on with my day. I want to know your presence in the room. I want to know your presence when I go to work. I want to know your presence when I'm buying ice cream on the beach or going on the dragon boats, because I know we all do that all the time. But, Lord, just I want to go deeper. Richer, Father, and I want to be so wide open to you next weekend as well, as we meet together. Thank you that the prophet, James Maloney, he has spoken. This is going to be one of those places where people encounter God.
Yeah.
And we're leading in that. Every one of us are leaders in that, because the rest of the town don't know how to encounter him. So we just thank you, Father, that we are leaders and we are people that truly encounter you in amazing ways from this day forth. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
You, Jesus.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Chris. Just stay where you are for a minute. I want to say something that God was just saying to me as Chris was speaking from that passage. It's an amazing thing that Isaiah saw. He saw the hosts, if you like, of heaven saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, whose glory fills the whole earth." Just imagine for a minute, it's probably near impossible, but just imagine for a minute, like Isaiah, you're glimpsing into the holy throne room of heaven, and there is the Lord, the holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Literally, the Lord God of the hosts. The whole, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, it describes him as the Lord of powers. It's just... the Lord of everything, all power, all strength, the Lord God Almighty. Just see angels and angels and angels and angels and angels and angels and the brightness and the glory and the majesty. And no wonder Isaiah was so overwhelmed. He just saw this wonderful thing of all the hosts of heaven gathered praising God. And then as they're praising God, what these angels... And the seraphim and the cherubim, what the angelic hosts say is, the whole earth is full of his glory. So Isaiah is seeing this magnificent picture of glory in heaven, but heaven replies, the whole earth is full of the glory of God. And you'll read in John's Gospel, he explains that what Isaiah saw was the glory of the Messiah cascading through Jesus into the earth. How does he do that? Into those he lives in. So you just imagine how amazing heaven was with all the hosts of heaven, but they turn it round and say, the whole earth is full of the glory of God. What was it Isaiah saw? You. Those of you that know him, that's what he saw. That's what he was overwhelmed with. And in the presence of such magnificence and all the hosts of heaven, the hosts of heaven turned around and said, the whole earth is full of the glory of God. The whole earth, he saw the glory of God cascading through the Messiah into you. And that glory fills the earth because it's the people of God that they were singing about. You think that's almost wrong. There in the throne room, there in heaven, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And that's how God sees you. You see, just imagine again that magnificence, that majesty, that power, that hosts and hosts and hosts. And yet the angelic being said, yes, but the whole earth is full of the glory of God. How can we not see lives transformed? How can we not see people's lives completely changed around? How can we not see healings just breaking out in people's body? How can we not see miracles breaking out in people's lives? How can we not see finances completely turned around in people's lives? How can we not see families that have suffered breakdown being restored to one another? How could we not see people who have been abused being completely set free from that abuse so that it's not a chain around them? How could we not see the glory of God filling the whole earth when we are the glory of God? And the more we step into what God has for us, the more people that we speak to and give their lives to him, the more people that are healed, the more that are restored, the whole earth is full of his glory. Hallelujah. How could we even not experience something? It's not an academic belief, but when the glory of God comes, you're supposed to know something's happening. That's why people sometimes fall over when we pray for them or shake or having all kinds of experiences. What else when you think of the power of heaven flooding through that body? We're going to finish in a couple of minutes, but before we do, are we willing to recognize that we are the glory of God in the earth? Are you willing to let the glory cascade through the Messiah through you? Moses, when he encountered God, his face shone. When Jesus encountered God on the his whole body was shining. The Mount of Transfiguration for you biblical people. Our body is to shine with the glory of the Messiah cascading from heaven through us. So, right now, no band, no hype, just standing here right now. The glory of God is going to come and rest on you to be able to cascade through you. Something of that happened earlier. God is not redoing anything really, it's fresh, but just around this room right now, some of you will feel pressure on your shoulders as the glory of God rests on you right now. Experience his presence right now. Now, we touched on this earlier and I said we'd come back to it, because for some, it wasn't finished earlier. We mentioned pain. In the glory of God, is present, that pain's got to dissolve. It's got to go. like to do it this way. If you're in pain for whatever reason, we're not going to ask you to explain it. We don't really need to in these circumstances. But if you're in pain or you suffer from recurring pain, we're going to pray for you. We're going to do it in a certain way by people that are around you, standing with you, just allowing the glory of God to flow through you. So first of all, what I'd like you to do is, if you want to be pain-free, I need you to raise a hand up high, because we need to see where you are first. That's funny, you're all on one side. There's nobody over that side and everybody over that side. Okay. Keep your hand up for a bit. And we'll let you put it down in a minute. Now, I want everybody else who's not got a hand in the air, who feels able to do it, but remember, the glory of God is cascading through you. You are the glory of God. Now, we're not going to lay on hands this morning, so you need to listen carefully. We're not going to go back to, oh, we always do it this way, something else. All right? So I need people from the congregation here to go and stand with someone who's got their hand in the air. And then when somebody is standing with you, at least one, but there can be easily more, you can put your hand down. Okay, so you'll need to move around a bit. You'll probably mess all the chairs up, but that's all right, because they go away later. Just keep that hand up until there's somebody stand in front of them. Because you're going to let the glory of God cascade through you into that person for that pain to go. Okay? And once you've got people, just put your hand down. That's it. That looks like everybody's got someone with them. Okay. Now, one person that's with the person that's going to be healed, one of the persons that's standing with them, can you just take the hand of that person? Not laying on hands, just hold their hand. This is not magic or anything like this. It's just symbolic that the glory of God's going to cascade through you and into them. Okay? Right, now those who are being the vessels of glory, in other words, the ones that are praying, probably you'll find it helpful to raise one hand, or both hands if necessary. And the glory of God's just going to start coming through you and into the person you're with. You don't need to say anything. Because this is the glory. There's other sorts of prayers for healing. This is one way to pray, to just let the glory flow through someone. The whole earth is full of his glory. John explains, it's the glory of the Messiah cascading through the earth, through you. Right now, the glory of God is cascading through you into the person that you're standing with. Okay, let's check on what God is doing. Just everybody put a hand down at the moment, but still be aware of the presence of God. Don't switch off. Just let the glory be flooding through you. Many of you will be experiencing, you'll be quite hot. It's often the case, so the glory makes you very warm. Okay, now, those that are being prayed for. First of all, I just want to ask this. Can you raise a hand if you are experiencing the presence or the glory of God moving through you at this point? Raise a hand. Okay, some of you might not know, but those of you that have felt something, experiencing something, raise a hand. That's good. There's quite a lot of hands raised. Just have a quick look round if you've been praying, because that'll stir your faith to see that God's doing something. Okay? God is doing something. His glory is being released in the earth. Okay. Hands down again. just continue. Now this time, I want you just to begin to say, thank you, Jesus, as you're aware of the glory going through you. There's no need to try. We're not trying to make everything happen. We haven't got to get the words right so that it happens. He is the healer. Okay. Father, thank you that right now, as we thank you for what you're doing here, your glory is pouring through the body of everyone who stood to say that they are in pain or they suffer from regular pain. And I thank you, Lord, that that pain is being healed. Inflammation is disappearing. What was red and angry in bodies is just calming down. There's two people right now where the pain is a source of inflammation. You're not feeling hot at all. You're actually, right now, it's going really cold. And soothing that inflammation. Let the glory flood through you. Okay. Let's just see what's happening out there. Everybody hands down. I love it. You have to remind people to put their hands down. So people of faith lifting up. Right. Now, the people we're praying for, can we raise a hand? Now, what we're going to start with is those who the pain has lessened. It might have lessened so much that you've got none, but let's encourage one another where we're at. If you were in pain right at this moment, can you raise a hand to show that that pain is now lessened or gone? All right, look, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hands up already. So there's already people that are experiencing God being healed by the glory. It's right at this moment, okay? Keep your hand up, those who've just said that. Now, I want everybody who's being healed to put their hand up because there's going to be a whole flood of glory come on you in a minute. All right, everybody who's being healed, just raise your hand right high. You're putting it into the glory cloud and there's going to be a release. It's coming any second now. Hallelujah. It might overwhelm a few of you. Don't be scared. If you need to sit down as it happens, that's fine. Okay, here's the release happening right now. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, where the pain was lessened, it's now to reduce to zero. There should be no pain in your body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Pain's just going down all over this room. Some of you are around, I don't know if you could judge it, 75%, 80%, but it's dropping further right now. It's like someone's injected you with a painkiller and you're just, it's going, it's going, it's going, it's going, it's going. Hallelujah, it's going. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The hosts of heaven are rejoicing. But the glory of God is here, right on the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, everybody, hands down. We're virtually finished here now. But I want to know now, those who, again, let's see if there's any increase. Let's go up to 80%. Who's seen 80% of healing already? All right, so it's feeling considerable reduction in what it was earlier. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 people. Okay. Put your hand, keep your hand up only now if the pain has gone completely. Have we got any? Let's see who's gone completely. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 people, the pain has gone completely. Okay, now the people that are standing round, I'm going to stop talking centrally. So there's 5 people already that have received complete healing from pain. Hallelujah. If it was a movement restriction, just try moving to see if it's gone. Hallelujah. If somebody who's not had the fullness of the healing yet, there's things that you could do that would have been painful. Start to do them gently, because as you do, then the healing will complete. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, who is 100% pain-free? Let's just have a couple of quick testimonies just to encourage people. Okay, let's have a go here.
Thanks, Paul. It's my knees. I couldn't do that, definitely. No. Look at that.
So there's no pain there at all now. No pain there at all. Let's nip down the back here. I can see something happen.
I went out for a cigarette because my arm was so painful, the left hand arm. And it's, look at it now. Waggle it about and everything. Arthritis.
Amen. Arthritis no more. He said he had arthritis, could hardly move it if he didn't quite hear it. But wow, praise God. One more. Is there anyone else that wants to say something that's completely pain-free? It's good to do this.
Yes, I'm completely pain-free at the moment. I know that the devil's telling me that when I lay down in bed, the pains will come, but I'm rejecting that. I'm rejecting that from the devil.
Amen. Amen. Another one.
I've had complete pain in my foot all week with gout, swelling, pain, everything. And they've just laid hands on me now, right? It didn't go up first, but it's just gone now. Look, I'm standing up, I'm walking. Look, and I'm in our business. Bright red 2 minutes ago.
Okay, what he's saying is it's quite pale. He was saying it was bright red 2 minutes ago. It's gone. Okay, praise God. That was the inflammation. Hallelujah. Right. And you might just be thinking, well, I've still got pain. So let's finish with no pain for all those people, all right? Just if you were praying with somebody just now, just speak to them, say, is there any pain still? If they say yes, take their hand and just let the glory of God. Say, let the glory of God flood through you. Let the glory of God dissolve that pain completely in your body. And if that starts, when that happens, just shout out, I'm healed. The pain is gone, okay? Oh, come on, those were good stories. Arm healed, gout healed, knees healed, movement that they didn't have. Hallelujah. Arthritis doesn't have a place in God's people. Arthritis is just being healed all over the body. All those different joints, all those different parts of you affected. The pain dissolved in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Any more people 100% yet? There's another one over there now. That's Tom, is it? Huh? Praise God. It's your first visit today, isn't it? And you get healed on your first visit. That's got to be good. Hallelujah. Okay, now if you've just received relief from pain, I don't want you to think, oh, it didn't work today. All right, it's working. Sometimes these things just take a little bit longer and you walk with it. And if you've been healed completely and you wake up tomorrow and there's a twinge, you just say, thank you, Lord, that the glory fills the earth. All right, because the enemy likes to lie to you and things like that happen to make you lose faith and oh no, no, don't listen to any of that stuff. Well, praise God. Thanks, Pastor Chris, for leading us into that place of the glory. As Chris said, if you're giving your life to Jesus, saying yes to Jesus for the first time today, come down and see him because we want to give you a Bible and we want to pray with you and help you with the adventure. Let's enjoy coffee.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.